Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today, and I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone, no matter what stage of life you're in. If you haven't already, would you take a second to subscribe to this podcast? That means every Monday, when a new podcast comes out, it'll just show up in your queue, ready to listen to. It also helps Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere else know that you like the show and it'll recommend it to others. And if you really want to help us out, you could leave a rating or review. Reviews are life to podcasts, and yours would mean the world to me. Let me tell you a quick story before we jump into today's episode. I have had only one or two episodes in over 2 years of podcasting that have been unusable due to tech problems. And one of these was Natalie's. Natalie and I first did this conversation over a year ago, and when I sat down to edit it last year, it was a mess, and I knew we would have to re-record it. Luckily, Natalie was gracious with her time, and here we are, able to do so. I'm so excited to introduce you to Natalie Hixon. Natalie is an author and coach here to help moms live a more joyful life, free from anger and rage we can sometimes feel and act on. I thought this was a perfect fit for our series, It's Time to Take Care of You. Do you have a short temper? Do you struggle with destructive anger? Do you know anything about what triggers your rage and frustration? I hope that you'll listen into this conversation with Natalie Hixon as we discuss our insecurities in motherhood and how that can lead to pressure, and at times that pressure can be released on our families in a really negative and harmful way. I am so thankful for Natalie and all her work helping moms lead a healthier and happier life. So friends, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited today. I have my friend Natalie Hixon. We are running the gamut of internet technology issues, so I'm sure this is going to be a great interview. So Natalie, hey, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. What's in your cup?
I've got coffee and a splash of coconut milk in there.
Okay, so Natalie, tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Yeah, so I am a life coach, and I specialize in helping moms overcome destructive anger and burnout.
And yeah, how did you get started doing that? Like, why is burnout something that you focus on with moms?
Yeah, so it was something that I experienced myself, and it was just kind of interesting how I felt like I actually just stumbled into this niche. It was through my own journey that I was doing self-discovery and trying to overcome my challenges. And I had even gone through 4 years of therapy to work through my anger issues. And still at the end of therapy, I hadn't stopped getting angry. Like, I understood why I was angry, but I didn't know how to stop it still. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of frustrating at that point, because I'm like, okay, I know all these things, but I don't know how to overcome it. So I just started down a personal journey reading, and I found life coaches. I started working with life coaches, and it led me into life coaching school, which after that, I basically set up like a general life coaching practice, right? Helping people organize and figure out, you know, how to clear overwhelm. And I was at a mastermind retreat with a few friends, and one night we were up late talking about motherhood and anger, and we were both relating on anger issues, and she's like, you need to be coaching on this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's kind of an interesting thought. So I just kind of like stumbled into the next thing, and soon after that I just started helping moms work through these issues.
So your niche is like, it almost sounds bad, but it's like angry moms that are frustrated. Yeah. And when it becomes more than frustration, but it's also teaching moms how to not do that anymore.
Yeah, so there's this difference, okay? There's all moms are going to get angry.
Right.
Every human being gets angry, right? But there's a difference between being angry and frustrated and actually being to the point where you're hurting your kids, you are causing destruction in the relationship, and there's no joy in the family unit. And so what we do is we work through how to overcome the destructive anger so that we can learn how to use anger in a healthy way to process those emotions and rebuild those relationships with our kids.
Yeah. So what is like the first step for you when you talk to a mom?
So first of all, the most important thing is helping them recognize that they have destructive anger. Now, most moms come to me realizing that, right? Mm-hmm. But what we have to do is go a step further and bring awareness to the anger. So I have them go and fill out a couple different things. We work through anger profile and figure out where did anger start in your life. It's amazing to me how many moms come to me and they're like, I was never angry until I had kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more that than they were angry as they grew up, which was my case. I was always angry. It was how I learned to process anger was through destructive anger, which is, let me clarify that for a minute. Mm-hmm. Destructive anger looks like screaming out of rage and yelling at your kids, belittling them, your husband too, belittling, silent treatment, abusive, like physical abuse out of anger. That type of destruction is the type I'm referring to when I say destructive anger. Raising your voice and being irritated, that's kind of a normal thing with moms. But when it gets to that elevated level where you're just completely losing control and you're throwing things and screaming and tearing the kids down, that's where I'm talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
So we work through those episodes. Okay, so let's deconstruct the episode. What was going on for you? What was going on with the kids? Whose needs weren't being met? And how do we want to change the situation? We just bring a lot of awareness around these situations to then move forward and say, okay, the next time these situations come up, how do you want to work through them? And it's interesting, as you deconstruct these triggers, you bring more awareness the next time they start to happen. The next
right.
time you start to get upset in the first place, you start to bring awareness to what's going on around you. And you may still walk through the anger and into destruction, but you becoming more and more aware of it as you're stepping through it.
Well, and it's almost like you're lighting a candle in the darkness. And so when you can see those things now, you're like, oh, this is what's causing me to get angry, or this is what happened last time, and this is how I reacted. So I need to be really conscious about not allowing that to happen this time. I know that's something that's so interesting, and it's something that like I struggle with. I struggle with yelling and that quick to go temper, and it's something I always want to say, like, well, it's just generational sin, or it's something I struggle with because my mom struggled with it because it was modeled that way. But it's also something that, like, I have to stop. I don't want my kids to be like, well, this is just how my mom was and how, you know, she got it from her mom. You know, I don't want that. I want to stop it now so that our family tree can look differently.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. So often where I started even was, oh, this is just how I am.
Yeah.
I can't change this. This is just how I deal with anger. And it wasn't until I was throwing tantrums on the floor with my 2-year-old and screaming at her. And, you know, it was actually, I took her to a therapist because her tantrums had gotten so epic. I couldn't control her. And I thought, well, she's the one triggering me.
Right.
It's her. She's the cause of my anger, and this is why we're reacting. So she needs the therapy. And we went to that therapist's office. We sit in the chair, and she observes Enya, and she's observing me, and she has Enya leave the room, and she sits down across the room. She looks at me, and she says, "So Enya's a perfectly normal 4-year-old." Hmm. And I'm like, "That's because you haven't been at home with her,
right?
Right? Of course she's going to be good for you." And she's like, "No. You're the one who needs to be in here." And it was at that moment, it was a defining moment for me where I was like, ooh, you know, I knew I struggled, and it was a relief that somebody was reaching their hand out, even though it was hard to hear, that there was something I could do about it and something I could work through. So that was really important for me. And that's the thing. Moms come to me thinking, well, I don't know that I can change this because
right.
it's what I've always known. And I say, no, you can change this. You can start modeling new behavior to your kids and work through this. And you're not only going to change the course of your family's life, you're going to influence generations from here on out.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. So moms come to you and we say, "Hey, I need help." And you go through like what's the triggering and how have you always reacted to anger and all of that. How did this start with you? You said you started in counseling, and how old are your kids? Like, give us a little bit of like your journey on this.
Yeah, so my kids are currently 9, 12, and 16. And I was angry again, like I said. I was watching my parents. They were yelling, they slammed doors. They have since grown through their anger and worked through it, so they aren't doing that themselves anymore. But yeah, I just what I knew. And when we got married, my husband and I'd be screaming at him, and he just would sit there like and take it. And I'm like, why aren't you screaming back at me? And it was kind of in that moment where I was like, wow, like not everybody screams at each other, not everybody slams doors. This is interesting. But I still didn't know how to change it, right?
Yeah.
Fast forward to having Enya, my oldest, and I had insecurities. I mean, I remember her being 6 months old, crying, and me looking at her going, you hate me. You don't even love me. So I had this huge insecurity of not being enough and not being good enough. And that was something I was trying to protect, and not knowing how to work through the destructive anger in general, and having all these mindset beliefs and things that needed to be overcome and worked through, which I didn't know in that moment. I just reacted with her and was basically stuck with her in a 2-year-old mindset of how to process anger. And so as I started my journey forward, and it was that, again, that moment in the psychologist's office where we had that moment of, okay, so I need to work on me. The only way for me to help my child is for me to understand and work through this myself. And so as we worked through this, there was definitely times that I would get upset and scream at my child, and I would go to her, and my oldest, she's my guinea pig. She was the one who got the worst of it, right? I would go to her and I would just get on her level and look in her eyes and say, baby, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry mama screamed at you. I mean, I would put bruises on her. She'd have bruises on her butt. She'd have bruises from me squeezing her arm too hard. I would say things to her that you should never say to your child. And so I would have to go back in there and say, take responsibility and say, you know what? That wasn't okay. It wasn't you. It was me. I'm trying to learn how to work through this. Please forgive me. I love you, and I'm going to keep working on this till I get it right. And so it's taking that initiative with your child, even after an episode of destructive anger, and saying, I'm sorry, that was my behavior. And it's not you, it's me, right?
Yeah, and that's something I always kind of like jokingly, but it's a very serious thing. Like, I always apologize, and I'm pretty quick to apologize to my kids. Like, I am sorry that I lost my temper. I'm sorry that I yelled. I'm sorry. And so, Zoe and I have, because Zoe unfortunately gets the brunt of my frustration and my anger because we didn't get those formative years of growing up and training and all of those things. And so, she gets so much more of like that quick temper. And I always, I'm so sorry, my behavior was wrong. And she does the same thing. I'm so sorry, my behavior was wrong. And we are able to communicate in such a cool way. But I love that my kids know how to say they're sorry because it's been modeled to them. But I wish that it wasn't modeled so often.
But that's a thing, and I tell my moms too that I work with, hey, from here on out, as we're working together, every time you walk through an episode of destructive anger, this is a chance that you're going to get to learn from. You're going to go back and recover with your kids, and you're going to rebuild that relationship. And it helps bring more awareness. Again, we're bringing awareness to all the things going on around us. And so bringing that awareness, rebuilding that relationship. I've had moms who they go through the recovery piece and they're holding their child, and they tell me, they're like, I had so much joy in that moment because we recovered and we were okay. And it was just so cool. It's so cool to hear moms walking through this, and that they're processing, and their kids and them are building these relationships back up. And you're, again, you're changing that course of history for your family. It's such a cool process. So I tell them, no, don't beat yourself up for having another episode of destructive anger. This is where we deconstruct, we rebuild that relationship, and we learn for the next time how to recover and how to process before we even get to that point.
It's the same way we parent. And we just, like, it's like we stop allowing ourselves to be taught or to learn. But the same way we parent, we stop that behavior, we redirect, and we move on. Yes. So when did we stop allowing us to be taught that way? You know, when did we stop giving ourselves the grace that we needed to redirect our own emotions?
So much of that comes from the insecurities, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And all that we put on ourselves. We put a level of expectation on our motherhood and what we should accomplish and be able to accomplish, how we should show up in areas of our life. And that puts pressure on us, and that pressure gets released. And if we don't know how to work through it, and we don't know how to deal with that overwhelm, that pressure gets released on our husband and our kids.
Mm-hmm. So how has this changed the trajectory of your marriage?
Yeah. Working through this has been incredible. It's what's really crazy is watching the mindset shifts that have happened in me, how they have built up my husband's mindset, how they've changed him. His career took off when I was able to work through these things and not drag the whole family down into my pity party, right? So in our marriage, during the course of this, we almost divorced. It was on the table. And we started working with coaches, a life coach, a marriage coach, and she helped us rebuild that. And in doing that, it also helped me continue on my journey of self-discovery and how to work through and process. One of the things that can really hold us back in anger is forgiving those in our past. And when we're holding on to resentment, that can really be a big block for us on moving forward in working through and processing our emotions.
Yeah. Hey, I want to jump in here real quick to tell you about one of my all-time favorite companies, Noonday Collection. Noonday is a company that designs and sells inspiring collections of handmade jewelry and accessories made by artisans all around the globe. I pretty much exclusively wear Noonday earrings because I love them so much. And right now, one of the things I love about Noonday is how they are giving back to people who have been affected by COVID-19. You can host a Gather for Good party and make a powerful impact by gathering your friends virtually and shopping. Noonday will give back a portion to a person or charity that you care for to ensure that your purchasing power really matters. Not only will you be helping your community, but families globally as they make these amazing pieces for you to love and wear. To learn more about Noonday and anything about the pieces and the artisans and Gathering for Good, head to the description and talk to my ambassador and best friend, Juliana Wells. Okay, now back to the show. We don't realize the weight that anger really has on, like the heaviness, how it drags us down, how it affects every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Our marriage now is better than I could have ever imagined. Like looking back to 5 years ago, it just blows my mind to where we're at today. I'm absolutely in love with him.
That's so great. And you get to help other women see the differences, see those changes, and see, like I said, that weight of anger be, you know, that heaviness be lifted off and being able to walk in freedom, and how that changes relationships with our kids, but you get to see how it changes relationships with husbands.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. The whole family unit gets more joyful. You learn as you walk through this to live in the moment and understand that we're living moment to moment. We're not living in yesterday. We're not living in tomorrow. We're living right now. Mm-hmm. And often what happens is, we'll get up in the morning, and if we're feeling positive, we're like, okay, it's going to be a new day. I can do this. And then instantly you hear two kids fighting. And a lot of moms will go, great, my day's shot now. Like, right. It's just, so this first negative moment will set the tone for the whole day. And it doesn't have to do that. We get to choose, okay, this is a moment. We're going to work through it, process, and move on to the next moment. and see what has it's in, is in store for us there, right? So it's just, it's learning how to live within our moment, how to take the things out of our life that we don't need to be there and focus on the most important thing. And that is us and our family, right? And working through these emotions and allowing them to happen. I call myself an anger advocate. Anger is healthy. It's something that we all have. We all experience. We need to experience it. And it moves us to action if we're understanding the emotion properly and processing it properly.
What is a proper way to process that?
So let's take an example of mom with little kids. You're upset. Maybe the baby's throwing food on the floor and you're just like, why won't they just eat it? Why does it always end up on the floor, right? So they're getting really upset and they take the baby out of the high chair, start yelling at the baby. Like maybe it's like a 2-year-old or something anyways. Yelling at the child and child's following you and you're just getting more and more upset, right? And in your mindset, you're just, you continue to go down. You're spiraling down. At that moment, we really need to stop and take a time out and a breather. Yeah. And sometimes it's really difficult when we have little ones, especially because you'll put them in a time out and they won't stay there, right?
Right.
Or you'll put them in a place, maybe it's safe, maybe you put them in their crib and they're just screaming and you just, it's so difficult for you to process this. And so what I've been telling moms is the most important thing when you start to get angry is that you get some time to calm down. Okay, you got to take 5 to 10 minutes. Yeah. You got to start deep breathing. You got to offer up a prayer. You got to say things that are like good for you. Like, I am amazing. I am calm. I am peaceful. And start talking yourself down. And then also walking through this. Okay, why am I upset?
Yeah.
You know, any mom is going to be upset when your child's sitting there screaming at you. It gets frustrating. Like, it's a painful thing to experience. And you go to anger through that. So what I say is, hey, you know what? Until you and your child have learned to take a good time out and to calm down and process, get out these things like calm boxes. Put a snack and a toy and something in there that will distract, or turn the TV on. I don't care like what it is. I want you to get in the practice of learning how to calm down, because once you're calmed down and you have clear mind, then you can walk through this event productively. You can work through your child disobeying and a consequence needing to be given once you're calmed down. But if you try to attack that consequence head on while you're angry, you're just going to end up causing more destruction. And the consequence is not actually going to do what you want it to do, because you've hurt the child already. And so it's just kind of piling consequence on consequence. So the point is, get them in a place to calm down and you calm down, take some deep breaths. And deep breathing is huge. It resets your entire nervous system. So I want you to breathe in your nose and out your mouth and do that 2 or 3 times until you feel like you're relaxing and able to kind of calm down. Right. So that's the first real thing that I try to help moms understand. It's okay to take a time out, get your child distracted, and then come back to the issue once everyone's calm.
Yeah. And I think one thing I realized, and I don't remember if it was my counselor or what, but I just, my parenting structure was, we have to deal with everything right away, especially when the kids were little. Right away, right away, right away. And I think it was my counselor said, like, you know, your kids are getting bigger now. You don't have to deal with stuff in that moment, especially if you're upset. You can come back to it. Like, you can go back and you guys can have teachable moments in a little bit. Like, you have to, she's like, you could even, if you needed to, wait a week to process it. You can process and then come back to it. They're big enough, they're going to remember. It's not like when they were little and, you know, don't touch that, it's hot, you can't do that. Like, right away, it's, okay, we're going to talk about this, you know, in a week. I can't deal with it right now. I can't. Like, it's making me mad. Or revisit it once those feelings aren't so hot anymore.
Yeah. And I've had moms say, well, my baby, like, I have to teach them right in the moment. Like, here's the thing with babies. They typically repeat what they do for quite a while. So it's more important that you, like, I'm thinking 1 year old again, I'm going back to that throwing the food off the,
yeah.
Can you tell it's been a while since I've been in that stage.
Yeah, same here. I don't know much anymore either.
I don't know, like, but you know, they're throwing food off the thing. Yeah, of course you don't want them to learn that. But what's more important at the moment? That you're calm and work through this with your kid, or that you're angry and screaming? They're not going to get the point either way. Either way, they're going to just continue to do their behavior. They're not understanding. They're just seeing you get upset. So if you want a situation like that, then calm down, come back later with the child, help them clean it up, and just show them, hey, you know what? We don't throw food off the table. It's not okay.
Yeah.
But don't worry about that. They're going to throw the food off again. So you calm down and then you work through it when you're calm.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, I love that you're doing this work with moms, because I feel like there's so much shame wrapped around anger, wrapped around burnout. And the fact that you're standing there saying, like, no, let me be your advocate. Let me help you. Like, let's call it what it is and let's work through it. I think that's so beautiful and so needed, because, like I said, I think shame and fear and embarrassment, all of those things can take such a hold on our lives as moms, because you're right, we are embarrassed that we don't have it all together. And I think that what you're doing is just so awesome, because we need advocates like you saying, like, hey, this isn't right, but let's make it right. Let's do a better job.
Yeah. And validating. I mean, moms don't get enough validation. I get it. I know why you're upset, and it's okay that you're upset right now. It is. And any mom would be upset in this scenario. So the fact that you're upset is okay. And often we're told that we can't be upset. It's not okay to be upset. And so we have to validate ourselves. And that's one of those things. When you're calming down, it's okay that I'm upset right now. Yep. Anybody be upset in this position, in this condition, in this circumstance. And then you go back to your child and you do the same for them. I understand that you're upset right now. And you help them put words to their emotions, right? Yep. So you both are just feeling the feelings and understanding and validating them.
Yep. I love that. I love that so much, because it is something, and again, taking it back to Zoe, but it's like to tell her, like, hey, you can feel mad and you can be angry. You just, like, we have a rule. It's like, if you're mad and you're yelling, you have to be in your room to do so. Like, you just can't be screaming like a maniac in the house. You have to be in your room. And it's the same for me. If I'm angry, I have to go to timeout in my room. I can't be in the house yelling. Like, I need to be in my room. So that's kind of how we manage it within our home, which just gets us all kind of separated and calming down.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah. Well, this is such, like, heavier topics, and I am so thankful for your time and the fact that we've already done this once before. I really do just, I love what you're doing, and I love how you're helping, and just walking alongside us moms saying, like, okay, like, there's no shame. Let's just change the game for our families and for years to come. I have one more question, and it is, you have older kids than me by just a couple years, but how are you navigating this older kid season with driving and internet and dating and all of that fun stuff?
Yeah. Interesting that you're bringing this up. I just had a conversation with my daughter. She's not allowed to date. She'll be 16 here in this month. And she understands the concept of not dating, although she has a crush, and she's brought up this idea that I want to text him. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, you know what? Here's the deal. I told her, if you want to text this boy, you have to do a few things to get there. You need to make a good, a solid argument as to why that should be okay right now. Mm-hmm. Pros and cons. Study it out. Ask people in relationships, ask people who've been in relationships when they were younger, what was the benefit to that? And I also have, I just had a conversation literally this morning. She's been reading a lot of teen love novels, right?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I said, baby, what are you putting in your mind on a regular basis? Of course you want to have a relationship, because that's what you're reading about.
Yeah.
And we homeschool. And she says, oh, so you're going to turn me into a sheltered homeschool kid? I'm like, It's interesting that you say that. That's an interesting thought that's your fear. But no, actually, I'd like you to expand your mind. I'd like you to open your mind. I want you to continue to read those books. But in the middle of those books, in between them, I want you to read books that are going to help you develop into a well-rounded, well-adjusted person, right? So it was at her age I started reading self-help books and learning more about how we work and understanding things like what's that one book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, I think. And How to Win Friends and Influence People, those books, right? Like my parents had this library.
That's amazing.
And so, yeah. And so it was like those books helped me have a little bit more of a concept of relationships, right? And how they work. So, yeah, I'm putting her on a let's have you discover why and have a wholehearted approach to this instead of just walking into it going, yeah, go ahead and just do that, right? It's scary in this world and technology. It's so difficult to try to navigate, especially these older ages. But there's ways to do it, and there's a couple different apps I can share. One is Bark, and one is Hour Pact. So those are some
Yeah,
great
I've heard of those too.
technology. Yeah, and they show us what she's saying with her friends. Gives us cues to check in with things. Driving, she's been driving for a year now, and she knows that if she's ever caught with the phone in her hand driving, she loses her privileges for quite a long time.
That's so good. It's so good. We have a 13-year-old, and he's still in that like sweet, awkward young man phase. And I had told him there's a, he has a crush on a girl at the end of last school year, and I said, well, if you want to text her, ask her for her parents' phone number, and you can text them for permission first. And he was like, oh no, that's fine. And I was like, okay, then you don't want it bad enough. Like, if you're not willing to send a text to their parents, then you don't want it bad enough. And he's like, yeah, that's okay. I'm totally fine with that. I was like, okay.
Yeah,
So I'm
it's
like, okay.
interesting to see where
Yeah.
their boundaries are. Yeah.
It's so great. And then I'll tell my youngest son that, and he'll be like, all right. Like, he'll be the one he's a lot like me, where it's like no fear with like other people. He's like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. No big deal. I'm like, so he'll have a whole another boundary for us to
That's funny.
cross.
I know,
So
right?
it's so funny. Well, that's, I like that. I like that a lot, where it's like, let's read some other stuff. Let's develop a little bit more into the adults that we want to raise.
Yeah,
So fun. Okay,
exactly.
well, here's the last few questions that I ask everyone, because man, even especially after a conversation like this, we are friends and we should know these about you. Who or what is your guilty pleasure social media follow?
I would just say travel and leisure or any type of travel account. I love living vicariously if I'm not traveling myself. So,
Yes, that's a good one. What is your coffee order if you're out and about?
yeah, it's basically the same thing I'm drinking now. It's coffee with a splash coconut milk.
Love it. Consistent. What's one of your biggest pet peeves?
It would be drivers with phones in their hands.
Yep.
I'm just kind of one of those. Can you just pull over?
Yeah. Oh, what is something you've read, watched, or heard lately that you are obsessed with?
So I am a real mindset nerd, not surprising considering my profession. And currently I'm reading a book called A Happy Pocket Full of Money, and it's a very interesting read, but I'm having fun like picking things out of there. So yeah.
Awesome. Okay, and then where can we follow along, find you for coaching and all of the things?
Yeah, so I'm over at nataliehickson.com, and you can actually download a free trigger tracker over there.
Oh,
And
cool.
it's that thing I told you about looking at your triggers and bringing awareness to them. So you can go download that over there. And then I'm also at Facebook and Instagram, both under Natalie Hickson.
All right, Natalie, thank you so much for coming on. Again, I just want to say thank you for doing the hard work with moms to help us to recognize and change our ways. I think it's so awesome, and it's I'm sure sometimes it can feel like the work that nobody else wants to do.
I very much enjoy helping moms love their life. That's mm-hmm. so important to me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you.
I loved what Natalie said about taking time to stop and understand our feelings. We are allowed to have feelings of anger, and sometimes those feelings are justified for us and our kiddos. But so often we forget that, and we send ourselves into a bigger fit of frustration due to shame, without allowing our hearts and our minds to unite and overall calm down. If you heard something today that really piqued your interest, or you heard something that really made you think, man, I really need help with this, I hope that you'll go check out Natalie's Trigger Tracker. It's linked in the description of this episode. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come check me out. I'm at Jeanette Tapley on Instagram and at The Jeanette Tapley on Facebook. Everything you need to know about today's episode will be in the show notes at itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait for next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friends!